During those long halts in the middle of the day, Owar took to separating himself from the women, and Santan became accustomed to seeing his tiny figure sitting cross-legged in the shade of an adjacent camel-thorn tree, scraping with a clasp knife at the chemsbok skin that was spread across his lap. He carried the skin carefully folded and rolled into a bundle on his head during the day's march, and once, when Santan had begun to examine it casually, Owa had become so agitated that she quickly placated him. "I meant no harm, old grandfather." But her curiosity had been piqued. The old man was a craftsman, and usually he was delighted to show off his handiwork. He had not protested when Santan watched as he split the pliable yellow bark of the trunks of a kookerboom tree, rolled it into a quiver to hold his spare arrows, and decorated it with designs of birds and animals burned into the bark with the coal from the campfire. He showed her how to shape arrowheads from hard white bone by patiently grinding them against a flat stone, and Santan was surprised at the keenness of the cutting edges and the points. He even took Santan with him when he went out to hunt for the grubs from which he made the arrow poisons, which had brought down the great chemsbok bull, and which could kill a man within hours. She helped him dig beneath a particular type of scrub and pick out of the dirt the brown pellet-like capsules, which were the chrysalis in which the fat white grubs of the embryo Diamphidia beetle were enclosed. Handling the insects with elaborate caution, for the minutest quantity of their body juice entering through a scratch would mean lingering but certain death, Owa pounded them to paste, which he thickened with the juice of the wild Sansevieria plant before dressing his arrowheads with the sticky mixture. From the Sansevieria, he separated the fibres from which he braided the twine to bind the arrowhead to the shaft. He even allowed Santan to watch while he whittled a primitive pen-like flute on which he accompanied himself with piercing blasts when he danced, or while he carved the decorations into the heavy throwing stick which he used to knock the rocketing Kokai Franklin out of the air in a puff of pretty feathers, or the blue-headed lizards from the uppermost branches of the camel-thorn trees. But when he worked on the chemsbok skin, he went off to a discreet distance, and he worked alone.